Hump Day. It's Hump Day, Bill. Happy Humper.
And to you and yours.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. This is the stream show, the bonus hour. You don't pay for this hour. This is free. This is on us.
Bill, no one pays for the other hours either.
Well, how do we stay in business, then?
That's the best question you've asked so far this year.
I can't imagine a business model with success if that's the case. So people listen and they pay nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is doomed to fail. There's no way in the world we could possibly make this work.
It's been going a long time.
I guess. All right.
Jasmine just pointed out that there were reports of some high schools that were walking out today. I've done a little research. I think Jasmine told me Schaumburg, a high school in Schaumburg.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Oak Park River Forest students were expected to participate in a walkout at noon today, part of an effort to end gun violence, according to school officials. Now, if anyone's listening, our number is 312-235-2525. I'm just curious, if you live near a high school and you see kids all outside, I'd like to know who's participating.
You know, in the old days, if you were going to pull something like this off, it took weeks of planning.
Oh, I know.
But now, because everything is so instantaneous, this could have been decided. Believe me, it could have been decided yesterday or the day before, but very likely, maybe this morning, somebody goes, let's do something at a certain time, text everyone you know, and then it's done.
And, you know, in a way, think about it. If a kid organized something, even if the whole school didn't walk out at 12 noon, the kids who did, you can't get in trouble.
Right.
Donald Trump will be speaking to students today at 3 o'clock.
I think they were calling it a listening session.
Right, right, right.
The original game plan was for him to sit down with these kids, they would tell their stories, and then who knows what will happen as a result.
Well, several demonstrations have been scheduled on different dates throughout the nation, which is making it very confusing to me, because I have read March 24th is going to be the day that kids are going to not go to school until lawmakers discuss gun control.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I know that that's spring break for very many high schools, so that, first of all, is not going to work if they're walking out and there's no school.
Right.
Then the other date I heard was, I think, April 20th, which I believe is the anniversary, or that's a bad choice of words, but that's when Columbine happened, the date of Columbine.
Yeah.
So
I think you can still say anniversary. I know anniversary usually sounds festive, but, yeah, it's the same day of.
The remembrance of,
yeah,
or whatever. But this is what is happening. I love the energy and effort that these young people are putting in. I mean, really, watching that Ken Burns documentary of the Vietnam War and looking at all the protests that were going on then, there was a reason to protest. And it sure seems like there's a reason to protest now for young students.
Over the last couple of days, on all of your 24-hour talk news stations on satellite or cable, they keep asking the question, what is different this time? We've had these mass shootings so many times in the past, and there's a couple of days of everybody being upset and saying, what do we do now? And then it just fades away. So what's different this time is, the obvious is that the kids are fed up. The kids at this school and other schools are saying, stop, politicians, stop talking about it, do something about it. And I can't help but applaud them.
I know.
It's amazing.
So proud of them.
Yeah. Now, as a byproduct of that, there are several people that have said that leftists are using these kids as pawns and tools to get their message across. One guy was just fired, a Florida guy. I've got the story. An aide to a Florida legislature was fired on Tuesday after claiming that two survivors of the mass shooting at a Parkland high school were actors.
Oh,
and not really students.
Is this that idiot, the controversy guy?
No.
Conspiracy guy, rather?
Jones.
All right.
No, because he has
this
said
is right
in the
up
past,
his alley.
Right. In the past, he has been very outspoken. Anytime there's a tragedy like this and people in the community speak out, he always accuses them of being actors, you know, paid to play the role of somebody who's upset. It's ridiculous.
So I just have to say, someone who has said this should not get any press at all, because then it would go nowhere.
You mean in the case of this
right
Florida
now,
legend?
This
right,
story.
Right, right, right. So he maintains, especially the two people that you're seeing the most, and that's this girl Emma Gonzalez, who spoke so eloquently, and then David Hogg is the other one, very
He's the
bright
one,
kid.
And the famous line from him is, you know, we're just kids.
Right.
You guys are the adults. Do something to protect us.
Right, right. Now, he has also been accused. Apparently, his father either was in the CIA or the FBI or still is.
So?
But people are saying that they're using this kid as a smokescreen for all the government agencies that could have and should have done something. That's a big internet thing going on right now.
What about all the kids that laid down at the state capitol yesterday for
actors?
17 minutes?
Or were they all influenced by leftists?
What about the kids who allegedly are walking out now? I have a kid in high school. I do not want to text him because if they're not walking out, I don't want him to organize something to get out of class.
Right.
But Oak Park River Forest High School was allegedly involved in this walkout at 12 noon. And also, was there a particular high school that you heard about, Jasmine? I know it was in Schaumburg. I don't know if it was Schaumburg High or something.
I think it was Schaumburg High.
Okay.
Let me look it up again.
So,
and they're organizing this on Facebook to get people, you know, that's the difference, Bill.
Right.
The planning before,
right.
Now you can, with
it's
social media.
It's all so fast now. So this guy, Benjamin Kelly, was an aide to Sean Harrison, a Republican out of Tampa, Florida, and he maintained that at least two and possibly more of the kids that we've been seeing on TV a lot this past week, Emma Gonzalez and David Hogg, who have really been at the forefront of this. He says that those are actors, or he did say that they were actors. He has since been let go. But then there was other people I saw on CNN yesterday, a big shouting match from somebody who said, there's no way in the world that these kids organized this, that it's the Democratic Party that put this together and are using these kids.
No way.
If you were these kids, I mean, it's easy to check. You could easily go to the school registry and say, does Emma Gonzalez go to your school? Does David Hogg go to your school? Oh, they do? Then we're wrong. It takes 30 seconds to check. But they say no, that they're being influenced, that they're actors. It's ridiculous.
They're being influenced about what's going on today. And also, I think what is different about this is a kid that most of them knew had problems. And, you know, when Donald Trump did tweet, you know, if you see something, say something, you know, we shouldn't let this happen. These kids are frustrated because they did see something and they did say something and nothing happened.
I don't know the name of this girl who came forward on Monday, but she had been a friend of the shooter's. She talked about what he was like, gave one creepy story after another about how he would follow kids around the school that he didn't like, that he would oftentimes just pick a name out of the air and talk about shooting up their parents. Let's go to their house and kill their parents, that kind of thing. So she would report him. Others would report him. And then it comes down to that thing that we've discussed in the past where You can be the creepiest person in the world and say stuff like this, but until you do something, they don't know what to do with you. The school expelled him. There was enough there for the school to say, well, he's dangerous to the kids who go to school here. We can't have him here anymore. But then they say that once he didn't attend school anymore, he had nothing. He didn't have a job. He didn't have a family. He didn't have school. He didn't have anything. And that may have been part of what set him off.
Yeah, I mean, the only place he had to go was school.
That was his only thing, right.
And I'm not saying the school should keep him there, but this kid needed to get some treatment. I did hear that he was seeing a psychiatrist.
Right.
But I'm also feeling kind of upset for the adoptive parents that took him in.
Right.
It's a pretty tragic life that this kid had. I am not making excuses for him. What he did was terrible, but this kid needed help and fell through the cracks. And why wasn't he, you know, in an inpatient situation? Why didn't somebody?
Because budgets keep getting cut for that kind of stuff. It's becoming harder and harder to get yourself involved in it. He didn't have any living parents. The source of income is questionable. So who would pay for that? There was a time where
He has to have insurance from, if he loses both his parents, doesn't Social Security kick in?
To some extent, but does it kick in to the extent where he can get proper medical care, the care that he needs, if he's even been prescribed as somebody who needs a certain amount? I don't know the extent of that.
And, I mean, even people who have insurance, a lot of times it's
not enough.
It's not covered all the way,
right.
And you don't have money,
the gap. Now, this was interesting. I want to say adopted father, but they didn't formally adopt him, right? They just took him in.
They took him in. Kimberly and James Sneed, the couple who took in Florida school shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz after his adoptive parents' death. So where are his original parents? I didn't know that his mom and dad who passed away were his adoptive parents.
Oh, I was under the impression they were his birth parents. All right, so the dad in this situation, his name is James, mm-hmm. right? So he was just talking about, because they've gone out of their way to say, we knew he had problems, but we didn't know it was like this. The shooting version of him was not the version we were used to. They've gone out of their way. So then the father just added that he really believes it was his right to have these weapons, which I did not see coming. I was sure he would say, you know, we did our best to convince him that he didn't need all this weaponry. But he says now, he just was quoted as saying, no, it's his right. If he wants to buy them, this is America. He's free to purchase them. He was of age. He didn't have any trouble purchasing the weapons, obviously. But this guy says, James says, yeah, it's his right to have had those weapons.
Well, that and
dangerous words, though, after
yes.
what you saw happen.
And I did see reports earlier where they knew he had weapons.
Yeah.
But the dad, James Sneed, said that he had to get a place to lock them up. It needed to be under lock and key, his weapons.
Yeah.
And I saw some quote saying, you know, I had a key to the gun case that was locked in his room. Evidently, he had another one. You think? Of course he did.
Right.
Cruz was twice orphaned. His adoptive mother, Linda Cruz, died of pneumonia on November 1st, and her husband died of a heart attack years ago, according to those close to the family. The Cruzes had adopted Nicholas as an infant. Without any living parents, Nicholas was taken in by the Sneeds after Linda's death. The Sneeds said they knew that Cruz owned the AR-15 but made him keep it locked up in a gun safe. James said on Good Morning America he believed he, James, had the only key to the gun safe. How do you believe that?
Well, in that instance, though, don't you keep all those weapons locked up so that somebody else doesn't come across the weapons and use them?
Well, yeah, that's why the dad said, you know, he had the key.
Right, because he then expected, well...
To ask permission, hey, adopted dad who's not really my dad, can I go shooting?
Yeah.
Of course you'd keep a key for yourself. This is not even your family. And I'm sorry, the tragedy of losing his dad, then his mom, just in November, getting kicked out of school... I'm not making excuses. What he did was wrong. He should be punished for that. But he was dropped through the cracks also. He needed some help that he was unable to get.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
During the 3 months that Cruz lived there, he was respectful and quiet, but also sad over his mother's death, the lawyer told the Associated Press. Everything everybody seems to know about Cruz, we didn't know, according to the father, James Sneed, on Good Morning America. We had rules, and he followed every rule to the T. I kind of almost don't even doubt that. This kid has nowhere else to turn. He is going to follow. Kids act differently at home than they do out in public.
Yeah.
And kids also act differently around someone who's not their parents. They really do. I think sometimes my kids respect other people's parents more than me
because
they know me. They know what they can get away with. But if they're at someone else's house to this day, I keep hearing, oh, your kids are so polite. Thank God. This kid didn't know. I mean, he knew these people.
So did this family that he was staying with recently, did they make any kind of attempt to say to local authorities, look, we've had this kid in our house? Keep an eye on him. We don't know
what
to make.
They're saying he was very respectful.
Yeah.
In fact, they went on to say they feel betrayed and just as shocked and crushed as everybody else. They don't plan on seeing him again. The Sneeds said that they crossed paths with Nicholas at the police station after the shooting. The mom says, I really wanted to strangle him more than anything. Everything I wanted to say, I tried to reserve myself. He said he was sorry, but I didn't even hear that. The couple said that Cruz would never had been in their home if they had known information about him that others knew. To the families of the victims, they said they are truly sorry. Nothing I can say will heal them, according to the father. We hurt for them deeply. And their son, who kind of befriended Cruz, really felt betrayed.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
You know, like, he's the one who said, this kid's parents died. Can he just come live with us?
Well, he probably had, like, when this girl who came forward on either Sunday or Monday, I want to say Monday, when they interviewed her, she was saying how at first, you know, they seemed to be friends, but then the more she got to know him, the creepier he seemed, and she wanted to distance herself. But she'd say that anytime anybody else did something like that, like there were girls that he would like, and he would just, you know, follow them around the school and stuff. that's scary in and of itself. You don't know how do you... I don't want to say break up like they were having a relationship, but even if you were this girl who was just friends with a guy, how do you just go, you know, we've been friends for a while, but I don't think we can continue being friends when you see that element of danger in him. But you almost have to ease off, you know, a little bit at a time.
But that's when you get somebody involved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Her name's Ariana Lopez.
That's her. Yeah.
She's a 19 years old. She's a student at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, where Cruz has been accused, and we know he did it. She opened up about her disturbing experience with Cruz during an appearance Tuesday on ABC's Good Morning America. He used to sell knives out of his lunchbox, which I thought was, like, insane because you can't have knives in a school. Okay, so... Why does that girl not go to a school official and say, you know what?
Well, she did at some point. Later on, she and other kids who...
But why later on? That day, I would have said, listen, I don't want to point fingers. Well, yes, right. I do, but I don't want to get in trouble, and I don't want to be called a rat. But I got to tell you, I'm worried. This kid is selling knives at school.
Yeah.
You tell someone that day. You don't brush it aside. I'm sorry, you don't. Even if they're your friends, that is something that he's going to hurt himself or someone else. That is not normal behavior.
This seems the right way to do it. You tell me. I would, with him not there, of course, say to the other kids that were around, what's the best way to handle this situation? This kid is obviously not right. He's bringing weapons to school. He's saying the things he's saying. He's following people. He's talking about killing other kids' parents. Who do we go? What's our best play on something like that?
Almost every school has a psychologist or a
social
worker. That's who you go to.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's who you go to, or your counselor.
Yeah.
And you go, listen, I'm in a really precarious situation here. I don't know what to do or say. But
then the end result is what the end result was, which is the school says, wow, this kid is dangerous to the school population. We got to unload him. We got to get rid of him.
Yeah, but I think police can be called if there's a weapon brought to school. There are kids that have been arrested for bringing a knife to school. Why don't authorities say, contact police and say, okay, you know, we didn't see him, but we're getting several reports from students. I mean, seriously, I have a kid in high school, one in college. I want him to say if he sees something funky.
Of course.
And you know what? Maybe don't tell your friends, because you don't want to be called a rat.
Social worker or your counselor. But isn't there strength in numbers, and that if you and two or three or four other kids go, then that counselor goes, wow, there must be something to it. All these kids are seeing the same thing. There's got to be something behind this.
I almost feel it means more if each kid comes in
if they all do it separately. Now, the most chilling thing this girl said, tell me her name again, because I can't remember what her name is.
Her name is Ariana Lopez.
All right. So Ariana Lopez said that while this was happening, you know, word is trickling out among the kids in the school that there's an active shooter there. And she said, we all knew as soon as we heard that. We didn't hear any name, but we knew who it was. That's the most chilling part, is without a doubt, they all go, well, who else would be doing it? It's that kid. That's scary. That's
why
so
you tell you tell somebody in charge at the school, you know what, maybe I'm premature in this. Maybe I'm telling you something you already know, but there's a kid selling knives out of his lunchbox.
Yeah.
Is he supposed to be doing that?
Yeah.
And then, you know what? Your kids, let the school officials figure out what to do.
Right. Now, I as a quick side note.
Are you talking about Florida?
I know. Yeah.
You know, there were besides the FBI, there were also at least 20 calls made to the sheriff's department about him over the
And they were at the house constantly.
I mean, so it's not 30 times.
Yeah, there are. It's not like they didn't know. Shouldn't have known. So I don't know.
But
I'm talking about another.
Oh no, we are just this girl who said she knew. You know, he tried selling.
The second after the shooting, when I was watching all the
coverage.
Coverage, and a kid came out and right away said, "Yeah, I mean, we all."
Isn't that
everyone
frightening?
Knew who it was?
But so how does that change from now on? How, I mean, can't police get involved?
Now I think it's just, these kids are giving me hope. I think it's
ball game. Yep.
But it's a learning curve, right? Because
It's not like this is the first time it's happened.
But what have you learned your whole life? Just mind your own business.
Right.
And if you do,
don't be a rat.
And it's true. In high school, we know how that goes in schools and those packs, because they are packs of rats. It's hard. It's hard.
And if you turn someone else in, then they shun you.
And if it turns out that it's nothing, then it's, yeah.
That's why I say go by yourself. Don't get a group of kids. Just go. If you see something and it doesn't feel right to you, just tell a school authority. You know, a counselor or a social worker or psychologist or someone in the office.
It's like the whole bullying effort.
Yep.
I mean, it takes a long time. It's everyone's got to be on board. You've got to have people who don't give you up, and the adults who make sure that you,
right.
If you want
maintain
to anonymously say it. Yeah, exactly.
Jude, there's, so. Wendy knows this. I've talked about this on the air a couple of times. There's a kid in our neighborhood who I'm not going to say fits the description of this kid, because that's as drastic as can be, but the whole time we've lived there, he's always beating up on kids that are much, much smaller than him.
Still
he's
doing torturing. It today?
No, my wife has told me that he has calmed down a bit. I don't know what that means.
Well, you perhaps he's medicated.
Up, tell me you weren't going to say torturing animals.
Yeah, throwing rocks and stuff at animals. Oh. He always, always, always has a weapon, either a stick or a toy gun or some knife or something. I've never seen him where he doesn't have something that he's not hitting, you know, with a stick. One day I was driving down the alley by our house, and he was doing a weird dance by a tree, and I was just pulling up behind him, and he didn't see me, but he was doing like this weird ceremonial dance by this tree. And then when he saw me in the car, he just he squinted and stared at me as I drove past. And I come home and I said to my wife, I'm calling the police. No, he was not chanting. And my wife said, go ahead, call the police and tell them that a boy was dancing by a tree and stared at you.
But you
and
guys
see how quickly the police come.
Right, it's funny, but not.
But it's not funny. Funny, because really, maybe there are some mental issues and the family's well aware of it. And you know what? He looks like something. We have a special needs kid on our block who, if you don't know him, you might be going, oh, wow, that's weird behavior. But that's
to
them.
Yeah, but that was weird, but you've also described other dangerous, concerning things of beating kids up and having a stick.
Right.
Now, here's the problem. I think a lot of, in these cases, it's the parents. I know parents who refuse to acknowledge
they look the other way when stuff like that goes
on.
Right.
Yeah, I do.
And you know what? I go all the way
deny
back,
it.
I go all the way back to the first school shooting. Lori Dan.
Yeah. Yep.
They happened here.
Yeah, right. She needed help.
She had a mental illness that her parents were well aware of. That, you know, I mean, she was getting help for, but
no one talked about it then, and it was it showed failure if your kid had some kind of issues,
right? Or people, and you know, maybe the parents just don't see it. I don't know. You know, we're parents. You don't want to see any problems with your kids. It's hard to acknowledge it.
You know,
but you know, deep down, you always know.
All right, let's take a quick break. We've got news coming up. Judy will give you the news.
Thanks
and then
for bringing
more
me down.
Show.
Anyway.
I'm sorry, Jude. I'm sorry.
Walking in here.
All right, there's cotton candy in the second half. All right, that'll perk everybody up.
I'm down for
Phil and Wendy, WGN. How much water in your basement?
Not much, but you know what? I'm done. I'm calling Permaseal.
You have to.
I'm afraid to call them because, like Wendy said the other day, I just think it's this huge problem. But it's
they have financing. Thank God.
God, this is what I don't want to hear. But it's just one area. So
yeah.
It's not a... I mean, I see some of these pictures of these poor people to the south.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they had
so
a terrible.
So sad, yes. It's just a little, and it happens all the time when we get heavy rains.
Right.
And it's just a pain, and I worry. Who wants to just go to bed worrying all night?
Right.
And I know that, you know, I got up at 2 in the morning and shop back.
I don't do that anymore. Honest to God, and it was way more than I anticipated because it's a 100-year-old house.
See?
Yeah, it's 100 years old, and do you have a sump pump?
Yes.
Okay, we didn't have a sump pump.
Okay.
We didn't have anything.
I feel like I don't have any drain tile, and that's a problem.
Well, yeah, but
I know what to get you for Christmas now.
Thank you. If you can come and install it, that would be great.
Yeah. Right.
Just call and you know what? And Roy Spencer, listen, I'm not getting paid by them, and I paid money, and I'm still paying for the Permaseal.
So I'm going to call Roy.
But it's peace of mind, and that really, truly is worth something. And then you find out how much it is, and then you can make your decision.
Well, my son, who had to shop vac all day, 24 hours, every hour,
mm-hmm.
You know, just enough. Like I said, it's just a little area. We have tile in the basement. It's just the worry. He said to me, if you don't call Permaseal,
he's going to.
Yes. So I said, all right.
Get Permaseal and get some Brooklyn and Sheets. And Sherry's Berries are good too.
Awesome.
You know all right, what? You're making a joke of it.
No,
you're getting
paid
by Brooklyn, and I'm not getting paid by Permaseal.
But are they really good sheets?
Yeah, they're great sheets. All right.
I want to try those. You can use his name, Bill, and get a discount.
Yeah, oh, awesome.
Name. And the Sherry Berries, hello.
So good.
I've had those.
Yep.
They have cool colors, those Brooklyn, too. I've looked at them.
Yeah,
trust
they're really
me.
Nice.
What's
they're
so
really
nice about them, Bill? Why are they better than the sheets I buy at
Judy,
department
you know, the whole
store?
Thing for me is thread count. You know this. We've discussed this in the past. I love the thread count, and their thread count is over 3 million.
Wow. First of all.
What? That's
be
a lot
careful
of threads.
Here.
That's a lot of threads.
I want to tell you about some investigative juice in my blood that happened this morning. I heard Mary Vandeveld reporting at on the inbound Eisenhower. There's some work going on at Cicero. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to avoid the Eisenhower. It was raining. It's icy. This was before you, though.
Oh, okay. But I mean, they were still there when I.
Oh,
I
they're
to,
still
I,
okay.
When I came in, I had to get out of the left lane for just a second.
So then I thought, you know what? I'm going to take the Stevenson. I'm kind of both in between both of them, equidistant.
Right.
And I thought, like, you know what? I'm going to take the Stevenson this morning. But then, of course, no one put gas in the car, so I'm like, I got to stop and get gas. And as I'm getting gas in Lyons, I am seeing all these police cars and fire trucks and everything going on, and it looks like it's going towards the Stevenson. So I'm like, you know what?
What could it be?
I don't know, but I'm going to take the Eisenhower because I don't want to be caught up in an accident. I'm getting worried about seeing all these vehicles. And now I'm learning that there was a car stolen from West Suburban Lyons, and it ended up in a multi-vehicle crash in Chicago. The car was taken at 7 a.m. from in front of a house in the 4600 block of Hawthorne Avenue, and three-car crash, and then the guy got out, the driver, and started running, and they did catch him. Mm-hmm. But just seeing all that stuff.
Well, and I'm sorry, and you called the newsroom at what point?
Well, I didn't have any information at that point.
Well, you
could
the
be the news tip winner of the month.
Yeah, come on.
It's $72.
We always like to remind people, please call us when you see things like that.
Really? I didn't know
to
do
that. Yeah, that's why they're
there. Absolutely. Or email or text. Well, you can text, but yeah.
So I just call you and say, hey, I'm getting gas here.
And wow, I see all these police. Every time someone calls the newsroom with anything like that, we always check
all right,
it out.
Can I tell you, you have
nine
just opened the door of Wendy Snyder?
And this
I am going to call you every hour.
This will appeal to your investigative nature that you started with. Because you'll be like,
every hour, I will be calling
and
you
with an
update.
And you don't have to whisper or say, this is deep throat.
But what if I
doesn't
want to?
Doesn't have to. It's up to you.
We'll still check it out.
It's up to you.
All right. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And this was a gas station I used to buy cigarettes at, and I saw the guy that always used to sell me cigarettes, and
he
went to give me cigarettes, and I said, I don't smoke anymore.
It must have crushed him.
It crushed me. I wanted to say, okay, one more.
Don't do
no.
it.
I didn't.
Don't do it.
Good one is
you,
bad.
Girlfriend.
You haven't had
can
one.
Can I call the newsroom with that?
Yeah.
Yes. If you need us to
talk you down.
Yeah, talk you down. Yep. We can do that as well.
They're good at that.
We are very good at saying no, no.
Judy
no.
handles the cigarettes. Ryan Burrow handles chocolates. For some reason, you're about to break your diet. Ryan will talk you out of it.
And don't even call us if you need a drink because we will encourage you to take one.
It's all backwards.
Yeah, I know that.
It's all backwards. All right. Not to dwell on this, but since we were talking about this before the break and what people around dangerous situations do if there's a kid that seems like they're problematic, what in the world do you do? I don't know if it was 48 Hours or one of the shows like 48 Hours where they take an hour or two and they investigate a certain case. But over the weekend, I think it was on Friday, one of those shows that's like 48 Hours showed the girls that were involved in the Slender Man case in Milwaukee. Did either of you see that by any chance?
No, there's a documentary going on
yeah,
is
I've
it
seen
Netflix?
Parts.
Oh, is
yeah,
there
yeah.
really?
Yeah, it's really good.
My
oh,
kids asked me
that.
If I saw that.
Yeah.
It's so eerie. I mean, because these girls were so, I mean, it would be eerie regardless of what age it was, but these two girls whose plan it was to kill a friend of theirs and to blame it on a fictional character, Slender Man, and the way that their minds worked, like they really went out of their way to show these interviews of them. I imagine they do the same thing in the documentary too, but they showed them early on, you know, like right after it happened when they first came into the police station and their versions of the story right up until today. Both of them were just sentenced very, very recently.
It took a while.
It did take a while. It took, I think, 4 years from the time it originally happened.
Yeah, well, they were juveniles,
happened.
And they wanted to charge them as adults.
They didn't know what to do, and they ended up charging them as adults. But they both cop pleas, and they got out.
Right.
They will get out earlier than
one of them
intended.
Isn't getting out.
Well,
she's going
that's
to
what
a psychological
ask,
hospital.
They're both in hospitals now.
So they showed both of them, and what was eerie was the difference between them at some point.
One is kind of the influencer there.
Well, and just her reaction was so
matter of fact.
Yeah, that's what
like
I wanted
she didn't
to
have
ask
that
you.
Filter like. And so you could say, well, because she's young and didn't understand,
right.
But the other one
you understand
was,
at 12
right.
years of age if you've killed someone if you're normal.
But I don't know,
I'm
does
sorry.
A 12-year-old know that that's forever?
Yes.
I think you could have asked me that question about a 4 or 5-year-old and I would have said yes.
I don't think 4 or 5-year-olds.
You don't think
no.
so?
No. My
what
dad
age?
When
why
I was,
12? How about 11?
My
10.
Dad died when I was 10. I didn't know what death was. That was, you know, we've had older great aunts and uncles die, but, you know, this was my dad.
Okay, 10. And you're saying a 12-year-old definitely knows?
But I knew I would never see him again. I knew what death was. I guess I didn't really completely understand it, but I got the idea that I was never going to ever see him again.
It was explained. I went to so many wakes and funerals. By the time I was 5 or 6, I had probably been to 2 dozen or 3 dozen already.
Well, you did everything before everyone. Seriously.
I did, I guess.
Double promoted.
But it was explained to me exactly what the process was and that this is permanent.
And
I mean,
if you're doing something to someone and you see them breathe their last breath.
They stabbed this girl 19 times.
I know. She lived, by the way.
She did live.
Okay, you're right.
Beyond
but
miraculous.
She was stabbed a lot. Yes.
Crawled out of those woods.
So while you're stabbing someone and blood is spurting out and it's getting all over you.
And you hear the screams.
Yes, right. And the sound that it makes and the feeling you're feeling. Did you ever stab a chicken breast? I mean, it's not easy.
I did today.
Right. I'm not being funny
morning.
Here. It's not easy.
Right, and I guess I'm
so they
let me
knew.
Say it a different way. And then to keep doing it?
Right.
What's
so too many.
Seriously wrong with that? Like, how do they not?
Yeah.
Are they missing that gene that
but
says?
They might be. And that's mental illness,
yes.
too, guys. I'm sorry. Yes, there is definitely some bad people out there. But anyone in their right mind, after one stab would go, this isn't
it's
right.
It's got to stop. So, So one of the questions was, do they try them as adults or kids? They're trying to figure out exactly what they understood and everything. But they're just, one of them in particular, the one who kind of masterminded it, was so ice cold about the whole thing.
Not showing any regret or remorse.
Zero.
But the other one was?
In the documentary, the other one seemed,
At least she kept
she
asking, I don't remember the girl's
Ill.
Name that they stabbed, but she asked a couple times if she's alive, which showed that she cared. You know, the other one just didn't seem to even...
Beware the Slender Man is the name of the documentary. I believe it's on Netflix.
Oh, I gotta see it. It's just, I mean, every part of this is so sad. I mean, this was... The girl that was kind of in the middle that was talked into this, she was actually fairly good friends with this other girl. The other girl knew her as an acquaintance, but they had on 2 other occasions plotted things to do to kill her, and they changed their mind at the last minute saying, now the time is not right. We'll know when the time is right. They were at some kind of a camp or a park, and there was a bathroom, and their plan was to lure into the bathroom and do it there in the bathroom, and they decided at the last minute, nah, not quite right.
How do you think like that?
I know.
Awful.
I mean, I can't even.
Right.
I know I was mean to girls. I might have said something. Maybe you pulled hair.
That's way over that line. That's mental illness. That's,
yeah.
I mean,
it can't,
obviously, we can't even comprehend it. We can't even comprehend it. That's because it's mental illness.
Well, the parents of the girl that was more proactive in this would always talk about how she was so wrapped up in the internet fable of this Slender Man guy. The question was, I want to say it was Elizabeth Vargas who did the interviewing on this. So she said to the parents, was it to the point where she believed that the fictional character was real? And they go, oh, yeah. They would tell us, you know, she'd read these stories and it was all, oh, it happened. I read it. You can't
right.
question it.
I mean, the whole point of the killing was it was almost like a sacrifice. For
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Not
That's
that,
what
they know,
were
they
selling
were
it
saying,
as.
Yeah.
Yeah. As they were doing this.
And, you know,
set.
And then
because
there
if they didn't, they were under the belief that Slender Man
would kill them
would
and their
come
family.
To
and
their,
kill their
yeah.
families.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good defense.
It was such a sad case because they're so young.
Right.
And I swear to God, this happens to me all the time. And Bill, you know this. I my heart bleeds for the victims first and foremost, but my heart bleeds for the parents of these girls that in no way as they're raising their children, do right. they ever think they're going to deal with something like this? And then,
there's no way to ever.
And then people always say, well, you know, it's the parents' fault. They didn't ground them or give them time out.
But that's what I meant earlier. So many times the parents are the last to know.
Yeah.
It's hard to want, you know, it's hard to believe that your child is like that.
Well, it's really strange because in this show where they, and I don't know how they handle it in the documentary because I haven't seen it yet, but I do know on the show, they brought up the question of mental illness for one or both of these girls. And then one of the moms talked about how she wasn't still married to this girl's father, but that he had severe schizophrenia. And then they had tested the girl for it after the fact. And she also showed the same genetic pattern for it, too.
Well, that's hereditary, and that's delusional.
Absolutely.
And that explains a lot.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
But you don't notice that your kid is a little different and might need some help? If someone's schizophrenic, there would be, delusions prior to this. There would be. I
mental illness, I mean, when you, families I know that have been dealing with it their whole life, it's just, there's so many moving parts.
I know.
You know, there's the part where we're done. You don't want to take your meds? Go.
I know.
Go away and don't come back. Oh, my gosh. Well, now your sister's going away.
Yeah.
And she's a schizophrenic and she's not taking her meds.
And she's
probably going
to die.
But they've had it. They can't.
I know.
Or she's going to kill someone.
Right.
It's, there's just so much you have to deal with. That's, which is astounding to me that we don't put more of our resources into it.
Oh, my God.
But again, now this might be the changing part. This might be the part where we say, wow, mental illness. I mean, look at what we've done for opioids.
Yeah.
Nothing against opioid abuse.
I know.
Wow. The resources and the money and the.
Still not enough, though.
Never enough. But at least it's a start.
But that's part of mental illness, too.
This is a new thing. The opioid thing's a new thing. Mental illness has been around forever, and we know what happens when you allow mental illness to fester.
And I'll say something.
Everything.
Right.
As the, you know, my kids have ADHD and may have some other issues, and I just know trying to find a child psychiatrist for someone under the age of 16 is next to impossible. There aren't very many good ones, and there certainly aren't many to offer through any kind of insurance. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of a crapshoot at finding a psychiatrist for someone under the age of 16.
Not to mention, you can't even find out how someone's doing at the hospital. Try finding out anything about a 16-year-old who might need help.
Yeah.
I mean, rules and regulations, and it's so, because it was, you know, obviously historically mental illness, no one wants to talk about it.
Oh, right. We have to talk about it now.
We have to. So now is the time where it's got to be right out there in the
open. Jude, thanks for hanging out.
Absolutely.
We didn't have time for cotton candy. We'll get to that. I promised. Maybe tomorrow,
where
maybe
is
Friday.
We'll find it.
All right, stick around. We'll talk to Adam Hogue and find out what he has coming up on Sports Central next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.